As Stephanie said, I'm going to provide a general overview on FDA's role in vaccine safety. This will include just a real quick explanation of the organizational structure. And then, as Stephanie mentioned, I'll go over approvals and vaccine ingredients. Now, if you're anything like me, anytime someone puts up an org chart, when I hear a presentation, my eyes start to glaze over. So I won't spend much time on this, but this is to give you an idea of where my organization is within FDA. There are three medical product centers in FDA, and biologics is one of the three. There are actually seven centers. I don't have the brand new Center for Tobacco Products listed here. Within the Center for Biologics, there are three offices that play key roles in ensuring vaccine safety. First, down at the bottom in orange, the Office of Vaccines. They are responsible for reviewing applications, pre-marketing applications, investigational applications, and approving the vaccines. The Office of Biostatistics and Epidemiology is the group that does the post-marketing surveillance. They work very closely with CDC's Immunization Safety Office, and they do also participate in reviews of pre-market applications. And then my office, which is the communications office, we are responsible for then communicating with the public about vaccines. So just what is FDA's role? As with all regulated products, FDA is responsible for ensuring the safety of a product throughout its life cycle. That means literally from start to finish. Products have to be shown to be safe and effective prior to approval, and they must be manufactured consistently and with quality control, good quality control, in order to be marketed. Now, one thing I do want to note, I do tend to flip back and forth between the term license and approval. I use the term license because that's what's in the Public Health Service Act, and we license biological products instead of approve them. It means exactly the same thing, so I don't want to confuse anyone. So with regard to vaccine approvals, as with drugs, all biologics, including vaccines, must be tested in controlled clinical trials. In order to get permission to do those trials, you have to submit what we call an investigational new drug application to FDA. We review that application and then grant permission for the sponsor or manufacturer to proceed. Once the product goes through those clinical studies, if it is shown to be safe and effective, the manufacturer would then submit what we call a biologics license application, which is a marketing application to FDA for review and approval. Applications are reviewed by a review team, which includes clinicians, product specialists who are very familiar, for example, with vaccines. Either they specialize in viral vaccines or bacterial vaccines, statisticians, and folks who are experts in manufacturing. So quality control. I mentioned, or briefly, it was on a previous slide, the current good manufacturing practice regulations. What does this mean? I think I might have skipped a slide. Nope, I didn't. The GMPs are in place to provide for systems that ensure that products are manufactured consistently and well. They are written in a very general way so that each manufacturer, which has its own processes, can apply them as needed. There is no cookie-cutter formula. Each manufacturer's process is unique. And they must be current, which is the big C in the current GMPs. Companies must keep up to date with their manufacturing. So how do we ensure this? We go out and we inspect. Prior to approval, manufacturers receive what we call a pre-license inspection or pre-approval inspection. That's where we go and make sure that they are making the product in a consistent manner. They have to submit three consecutive lots of product manufactured to us for review in order to ensure that it's consistent from one lot to the next. Once a product is approved, those inspections are then conducted every other year. There are two notable exceptions. The one here that I've listed is influenza vaccine manufacturers, which are inspected annually. And that is because, unlike all other products, influenza vaccine is a brand new product every year. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. The other exception would be if there's a compliance issue. If a manufacturer has problems with manufacturing, we would go out more frequently if needed. Lot release testing. This is something that's unique to biologics, which is different than drug products. In the biologics regulations, manufacturers are required to perform lot release testing prior to distribution. For all manufactured drugs and biologics, companies have to test throughout manufacturing. But for biologics, in order to actually be distributed, FDA has to approve each and every lot. What that means is that the manufacturer will perform its testing for things such as purity, potency, identity, and sterility, then submit those results along with samples of the products to FDA. We then review those results and will test as needed, repeat those tests as needed. Only when FDA releases the lots can they be distributed to the public. So it's an added step of safety assurance by the agency that's different from other products. So a couple of quick examples. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but this will give you an idea of the number of participants in studies. The two HPV vaccines, Merck's product, which was approved in 2006, there were 21,000 girls and women who participated in those studies. And GSK's product, which was approved last fall, had safety studies in 24,000 women. So the studies were very large by regular drug standards. For influenza vaccines, I mentioned this a moment ago, this is a slightly different type of product. An original submission, the first time a manufacturer is approved, they do have to do controlled clinical studies just like any other vaccine. But annually, the products are approved as strain changes. And what that means is the manufacturers submit a supplement to us. We consider it a manufacturing supplement. As you see here, all the processes are identical from one year to the next. The only difference is the strain, or strains, if you will, that are chosen for that year's vaccine. There are no additional clinical data requirements for the injectable or inactivated vaccines. There is limited clinical data required for the nasal spray or live vaccine. So on to vaccine ingredients. This is a very hot topic these days, and one I'm sure you all get lots of questions about. And it's one that we certainly get questions, and so does CDC. We talk about it frequently. Each ingredient that's in a vaccine is there for a reason. It wouldn't be there if it didn't serve a specific purpose in the manufacture and safety and effectiveness of the product. I think that's a very important issue to be clear on. Also, manufacturers are required to list all those ingredients in the package insert. You can find them in the description section of the package insert, which, if you look at labeling, they're numbered 1 through whatever. It's section 11, for those of you who don't read them every day like I do. So I'll go through a couple of specific types of ingredients just to give you a quick background on them. Antigens. This is essentially the active ingredient in a vaccine. The example I list here is hepatitis vaccine. It's purified hepatitis B surface antigen. For influenza vaccine, it would be the specific strains of influenza that have been selected for that season's product. Vaccine adjuvants. This was a very hot topic during H1N1 and the use of adjuvants. There are a lot of vaccines that include adjuvants in them, and the most commonly used adjuvants are aluminum-based adjuvants. They are used to help promote a stronger immune response for the vaccine. The other adjuvant that was recently approved, the vaccine was approved with a new adjuvant, is the GSK HPV vaccine. As I noted before, with all ingredients, they are approved as part of the whole. They are not approved individually. So we don't just license the adjuvant, we license it as part of the entire vaccine. Preservatives, and this gets to Stephanie's comment about mercury. I think the most commonly used preservative has been thimerosal. Again, it's there for a reason when it is in vaccines. Most pediatric vaccines that have been licensed since 2001, with the exception of influenza vaccines, are now preservative-free. So what is it used for? It's used to prevent growth of microorganisms during manufacturing. It is also used to prevent contamination, and it is required to be used in multi-dose vials. So that's important to know. Here's some more specific information about thimerosal and what is contained of it. It's been used for a very long time, and it is not just found in vaccines. It's found in other drug products as well. As I noted, it's no longer used in pediatric vaccines. The last vaccines that were licensed that contained it were in 1999, but most manufacturers now have thimerosal-free presentations of their products. Antibiotics. This is one that we get questions on once every blue moon, and it's mostly because of allergic reactions. Those antibiotics that are used typically are ones that are not listed here, things that do not cause severe allergic reactions. Manufacturers do not use those that are most likely to cause a reaction. Formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is an essential component in human metabolism, and I think a lot of people don't realize that. It is found in the body, even in the absence of vaccination. You're exposed to it through natural sources. It is used in vaccines to inactivate viruses, for example. I wish I could remember which influenza vaccine used formaldehyde, and one uses a different inactivator, and I can't remember the name because it's about this long. It is also used to detoxify bacterial toxins, such as in diphtheria vaccine. So it is diluted during the manufacturing process, but because residual amounts can be found, it is listed as required in the package insert. So this is just a quick summary about licensed vaccines. It's important to note, and you all know this probably better than most, how rigorously they are tested. We take safety very seriously at FDA, and we work very closely with our colleagues across the department to do the post-marketing surveillance. It doesn't just end once the vaccine is approved. There is testing in place. I think a lot of people don't understand just how much testing is done for vaccines even after they are approved. I think that's an added step to assure people that the products they receive are safe and effective. And that's it. Some available resources, and I look forward to your questions at the end, and I'll turn it over to Tanya.